there's some things that the Lord does for the children of God that He don't do for other people that are lost. There's some things, some blessings that we have that a lost person don't have. One of those is we have the forgiveness of sins. In the book of Psalms 10, the Bible says, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in devices that they may that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. He lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draweth him into his net. He croucheth and humbleth himself, that the poor may fall by his strong ones. He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he will never see it." You know what the deal with a lot of folks today is? They think because they grew up in church that they somehow get this blessing that God just forgets the things that they do because they're religious. If you're lost, God hasn't forgotten one thing that you've done.
Right.
For saved people, there's some things that you ought to just put it behind you. The Bible said, put those things which are behind and press towards the mark of the high calling of God. But if you're lost, God still holds you accountable for what you've done in the past.
Sure does.
There's some things, ladies and gentlemen, that the child of God needs to put behind him and press on towards God. Don't let the devil and his devils bring those things back up and try to hinder you from serving God. But if you're lost today, you're still under the same judgment of God for the things that you've done in the past. You say, well, I go to church now, and I wear dresses, and I wear skirts, and everything else. That don't change it.
Right.
That don't change what you did 10, 15, 20 years ago. You know what? The reason why we do half the things that we do is because we're about as self-righteous, ladies and gentlemen, as can possibly be. And we don't know God. That's the problem, my friend. You can wear dresses as long as the Empire State Building is and still go to hell. You understand that, don't you? You can be just as religious as the devil is and still die and go to hell and go to the same place he's going. You say, God's forgotten. He don't remember. You know, there's people in the Bible that said that. What about David? You know, David had to say in his heart, God forgot what I did to Uzziah. God hasn't seen it. And you know what? I believe David forgot all about it. I believe he forgot all about it. Then one day the prophet came to give him a message and let him know. There was a man that had a sheep in a field. And there was another man that had a bunch of sheep. And the man with a bunch of sheep killed the man that only had one. David said, where's this man at? I'm going to kill him. Nathan said, thou art the man. What did he do? He brought up the sins of David's past. Ain't that something? Why? Because he didn't get those things straightened out with God. What I'm trying to tell you today, there's some things we need to go back and deal with, my friend, that we ain't ever dealt with properly.
Right?
We never dealt with properly.
That's right.
You know what? Elijah told Ahab and Jezebel that the dogs were going to lick their blood and eat them and scatter them. You know, that's exactly what happened. But you know, I imagine the years went by, and Elijah died, and Elisha the Tishbite became the prophet in his stead, and he proclaimed the truth. And you know what? There came a time when Jehu rose up, and God told Jehu, I want you to go kill every one of them. I want you to go kill all the house of Ahab. I want you to kill the 70 sons.
and I want you to kill his wife, and I want you to do that whole business, and whenever you've killed every bit of them, I want you to take them, and I want you to stack their bodies in the land of, I want you to stack them on the land of Naboth, the Jezreelite. And ladies and gentlemen, what are you trying to say? There's a payday someday for some of you. You tried to ignore some things that you've done, some of you. Ladies and gentlemen, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to bring you a message. I'm trying to give you a message. There's some of you that have tried to overlook some of the things you've done. God hasn't forgotten it. You may have forgiven yourself, but God hasn't forgiven you.
That's right.
If you're lost, you haven't got the forgiveness of God.
That's right.
If you're lost, the vile, wicked things you have done in all your life, God still holds you accountable for it. You might forgive yourself. You might put on your little self-righteous cloak. You might go to church. You might even pray and read your Bible. And God still holds you accountable for the wickedness you've done all your life.
You better believe it. Give yourself all you want to.
Well, that's the message. Well, Brother Asquith, he preached that message in here. That's what he preached it. About forgiving yourself when God hasn't forgiven you.
Right.
It eases your conscience a little bit to be religious on it. And I tell you what else we do. It eases our conscience when we can tear down a preacher to somebody else.
Right.
It eases our conscience a little bit, don't
it? Does.
It eases the conscience. But God still hasn't forgotten. God still saw it. God still remembers. And there's some things that some of you need to see. Some things that you need to remember.
Right.
1 John chapter 2. I was praying the other night with my wife. I said, God, what is it we need to see? What is it some of the lost people need to see? That's what he showed me. There's some things that they need to remember. There's some things that they need. Why? Because that's what you are.
That's right.
That's what you are.
That's right.
You can cover it up by going to church. You can cover it up by acting religious. You can cover it up by doing all these things. But that is what you are.
Sir.
That's exactly what you are. Wicked. So things you need to see.
Right.
1 John chapter 2, verse 18. The Bible said, little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. That's what I want to look at. I want to look at the last time he mentioned here in the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. It is the last time. I believe that the last time is the last days from the establishment of the Gentile church until the rapture of that church. When the rapture of the Holy Ghost takes place, the church is going to be raptured out with him. He that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed. And whenever the church is taken out of the way, the Antichrist and all of his ways are going to be revealed. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 21, Luke chapter 21, verse 24, that it is the time of the Gentiles. 21:24, the Bible said, and they shall, I hope I'm in the right place, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. It is the time of the Gentiles. God turned his attention to the Gentiles. He turned his attention to the Gentiles. You also find in the book of Romans chapter 11 that God has turned his attention to the Gentiles. Verse 25. The Bible says, for I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Then you find in the book of Genesis 15:16, I'm not going to turn there, but the Bible talks about the fullness of the Amorite. When the fullness of the Amorites have come in, then God will destroy every last one of them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'll turn there and read it. The Bible says, in verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity hath already worked, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." Well, it is the Gentile church age, and it has been for about 2,000 years. God has given his attention to the Gentiles. And there will come a time when God is done striving with the Gentiles, and he's done striving. Why? Because I tell you what we've learned to do all over the world is we've learned, especially the Gentile people, white people, European people, American people, we've learned how to take the very holy, right things of God and pervert it about as wicked and as devilish as it possibly can be done. And I tell you, that's what we've done in America. That's what we've done in our Baptist churches. That's what we've done in our homes. We've taken that which is right and perverted it. We've used Jesus Christ for about everything except what he should be for. We've taken, removed him out of things in this country. We've taken, removed his name out of some of our Bibles in America and in the world. And I tell you what, it's a grief to God. It's a grief to God. Well, I ask the question, what should we expect in these days, of the days of the Gentile bride? These are the things, ladies and gentlemen, that will take place, that have taken place. First off, the Bible said that there will be many antichrists in the world. This is how we know that it is the last time, because there are many antichrists in the world. These antichrists are infidels. Are you listening? They're infidels. They went out from us, verse 19 of 1 John 2. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. They went out that they might be made manifest that they're not all of us. You know what they are? They're infidels. They've turned their backs upon the truth. They turned their backs upon the truth. You know, it's amazing. You look at every major atheist that the world has ever had, as far as in America and England in the past so many years. You know, every one of them grew up religious, but they didn't have God. Every one of them grew up religious, and they're as wicked as could be. They sat in a church and they didn't know God. And they became infidels. Ain't that something? But you know what? The same thing happens to some of these preachers. They'll start out in a pretty decent church and they'll come out of it. Why? Because there never was anything in them from the very beginning. You know what a lot of you do? You know what a lot of you? You live based on the standards of somebody else. God hasn't given, especially you lost people, God hasn't given you those standards. Why would God make you live holy when you're just as lost as hell? Why would God do that for you? He hadn't done that for you. You got your standards from mommy and daddy's where you got them from. You didn't get them from God. Now prove me wrong right there. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, be holy as I am holy. Without holiness, no man shall see God. You don't know God. God didn't put holiness in you. You just got some standard that mom and daddy or some preacher has. I didn't get that from God. And I tell you what happens to a lot of folks. After so many years, they get tired of hiding what they are. And it all just comes out. It all just comes out.
That's right.
Sammy Allen died, and you'd be shocked at the preachers that became liberal.
That's right.
And you'd be, why? Because they got their standards from Sammy Allen. They didn't get them from God. Didn't get them from God. There's a lot of folks around Don Green. They got a lot of their standards from Don Green, but they didn't get them from God. Didn't get them from God. It's amazing. It's amazing. You find out when these men get old and when they die, what people were really made of.
Right.
Infidels. Not only are these antichrist infidels, they started out seemingly right, started out in the church, but they're mockers. They pretend to be something that they're not. Jude 1, or the book of Jude, only one chapter. The Bible said, tells us, I'll read it. Verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, and set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but that what they know naturally, as proof these in those things, they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for a reward, perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds, they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches which they have, the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurings, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own godly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. You know what he said? They'll be full of all these ungodly acts, but they'll pretend like they're Christians. They'll pretend to be Christians. They'll be full of all kinds of ungodliness, but they'll pretend to be Christians. That's Antichrist. Sure. It's Antichrist. Well, they subtly lead men astray. 1 John chapter 4, verse 3. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Listen, they come and they lead men astray into false doctrine. Lead men astray in the false doctrine, to believe things that are not so. It's the spirit of Antichrist. And I'll get more into the Antichrist later on. Not only that, but we find in the book of 2 Timothy, talking about these Antichrists, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's what they do. They wax worse and worse. Ladies and gentlemen, the spirit of Antichrist and the many Antichrists that are in the world that started out seemingly right, they wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Not only that, but they are the judgment of God. They are the judgment of God. Jeremiah 6, 13 through 14. The priest and the prophet shall deal falsely, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. And so they are the judgment of God. And ladies and gentlemen, you look out across America, at one point, people would flock to hear a Bible preacher. They would flock to hear a Bible preacher. Now they flock to hear preachers that tell them what they want to hear. They've heaped to themselves teachers having itching ears. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what they love. They love somebody to tell them something that sounds good. But I tell you what the prophets and the old men of God in the Bible did. I tell you what, Micaiah in the Bible, I believe it was Ahab, he sent for him and everything. It might have been him, it might have been one of the other kings. He said, I know about Micaiah, he's one of the prophets, but I hate him. He never says anything good about me. Never says anything good about me. That's how most of the prophets were in the Bible. If you live like the devil, they called it out.
That's what the way it was. But I tell you what, we've got preachers today that you can live in sin and live in ungodliness, and they'll pat you on the back. And whenever you go to die and you live like hell all your life, they'll stand by your graveside and call you a Christian when you die. Right. They'll call you a Christian when you die. You can be a sodomite, you can be a pervert, you can be a dope head, you can be a drunk. And when you go to your grave, some heretic, some hireling will get up and say that you were saved. No, I don't believe it. I don't believe that. The Bible said, be not deceived. He that doeth unrighteousness is unrighteous. But the Bible said, well, I'm not going to tell my daughter. There's a lot of folks that profess to be Christians that live like hell, that live like the devil all their lives. They live like the devil. They might live all right for 1 or 2 years, but they live like the devil all their life. And they live like hell. I'm not going to tell my little girl what they were saying. I'm not going to confuse her like that. The Bible said, be not deceived. He that doeth unrighteousness is unrighteous. The Bible tells us, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away, and all things are become new. The Bible said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. Wherefore, in times past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Wherefore, in times past, you had your conversations, what? In the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is quick in mercy with his great love, wherewith he has loved us, he has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But God. Oh, well, don't preach what you want to hear. Preach what you want to hear. Why? That's the judgment of God upon this nation. God's turned us over to what we want. Turned us over to, you know what God sent some of those old kings? He sent them some prophets to lie to them. He sent them some prophets to lie to them. There was a lying spirit that went up before God and said, I'll go down there and lie to them. Tell them that everything will be all right. I'm going to tell Ahab it'll be all right. Lied to him. All the prophets got together and told him, you'll be all right. You go out there and fight the war, you'll be okay. God's got your back. He'll protect you. You know what happened? He dressed somebody else up to be the king. And you know what? Somebody came and slew him instead of the king. Ain't that something? The hand of God is what it was. But I tell you what, it's the judgment of God upon this nation. When they cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Let me tell you something. If people are as saved as what they claim to be saved, and they ain't dead, I doubt that they're saved. If they live like the devil for years and years and years and years, and they bring a reproach on the name of Jesus Christ, and they make their children hate God, I doubt that they're saved, that they ain't dead. I doubt it. I know a man that did that. He died. He was a preacher. He left his family, left his children at a church. And you know what? He went and met up with some other woman. You know, a couple years later, he was dead. Died at 45 years old of a heart attack. Dropped over dead. His son was a medic in the Navy. He fought with the Marine Corps over there in Iraq and Afghanistan. He said, before my dad ever hit the ground, he was already dead. I did everything I could. He was already dead. Why? That's what happens to saved people whenever they live like hell. That's what happens to them. Well, Bible said this, I set thee a watchman upon Zion's wall, and if you fail to warn my people, and he said, if a righteous man turn from his righteousness and go out and commit wickedness, and you fail to warn him of his wicked ways, their blood will I require at your hand. And then he said this, he said, if a wicked man go out and he live wickedly, and you fail to warn him of his wicked ways, and he die and he go to the judgment of God, go to hell, his blood will I require at your hand. Let me tell you something, this preacher ain't going to have to stand before God with blood on his hands. He's not going to have to stand before God for some of you. For some of you. Well, there's many antichrists in the world. And you know what? Today they seem to be so close to the truth. You know, what's amazing to me is you take people like Billy Graham. And you know what? There are some very good things about it if you listen to him when he was young. But you know what's amazing to me? The world loved that man. The world didn't hear Jesus Christ.
Bible said they hear him. That's what it says over in the book of 1 John, I believe, chapter 4. He said they hear him because they're of the world. These preachers, these prophets, they're of the world. Therefore, the world heareth them. Ain't that something? The world couldn't hear Jesus, but it's amazing how well the world can hear some of these preachers today. It's amazing how much they love David Jeremiah. And he preaches out of the New King James Version, the NIV, the ESV, the RSV, and everything else. And these Baptist preachers would get up and preach his messages in Baptist churches. I don't even think the man's saved. I don't think he's even saved. Well, where do you get that from? I listened to his testimony. This is what he said. He said that he doubted so much that he just prayed and he said, "Lord, if I'm not saved, I just want to pray this prayer to make sure." And that was his salvation. Mm-hmm. Just want to pray this. That's when he got saved. Mm-hmm. And whenever he got saved, he started preaching out of the New King James Version. You know, he grew up in a fundamentalist Baptist church that believed in the King James Bible. You know that? They came out from us because they were not of us. Everybody loves him and he preaches a false gospel. He's an easy believer. Just pray a prayer. Ask Jesus to come in your heart and save you. And everybody loves him. You know why? Because they're of the world and the world heareth them. Right? You know, it's amazing to me. That's what, God gives you what you want. All these other, Joel Osteen, the rest of them, they just get up. He won't even admit that there's a hell on national television. What kind of preacher won't admit people go to hell on national? He ain't no preacher. He's a false prophet's what he is. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. Right? Well, Antichrist in the world. There's a lot of false preachers out there. A lot of them. They seemingly start out right, but their end is according to their ways. Are you listening? Brother Herbert Williamson said it in here a couple years ago. He said, God proves what people are before they die.
That's right.
God will prove what you are before you die. Lord. Number two, many shall depart from the faith. That's how you'll know that it's the last time. First of all, there will be many antichrists in the world. There's always been antichrists, but here's the deal. They're getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Everybody in America has been saved. You know what? There's signs on the side of the road. Jesus is the answer to your problem. What is the problem? Nobody knows what the problem is anymore because the contemporary preacher said that there really is no problem. He said there is no sin. He said it don't really matter if you sin. Oh, it's all about Jesus' love and Jesus died on the cross. So you don't have to really worry about your sin. Just accept, you know, Jesus and pray a prayer in your heart and everything. Your sin don't really matter. That's the way they preach it. Your sin don't matter. You just go to hell because you didn't pray a prayer. Well, and then preach against the law of God. Ain't that a shame? You know, the law of God and the grace of God are not against each other when they're right. And you know what the problem in America is? Preachers quit preaching the right order of the gospel. If I got up before you and I just preached the gospel, and I said Jesus died for you, how many of you lost people really give a rip? Raise your hand. How many of you really give a rip that Jesus died for you? Come on. You don't care. They don't care. Don't really care. You know when you don't care? When you see the law of God that you spurn.
Yeah. That's right.
Jesus don't matter to you until you see the sinfulness of your heart, the sinfulness of your way. You know what? Lester Roloff preached on Dr. Law and Dr. Grace. He went to Dr. Law and said, "Dr. Law, I have a hand problem. I can't quit doing this with my hand. I have an eye problem. I can't quit looking at this." Dr. Law said, "You ain't got a hand problem. You ain't got an eye problem. Well, my feet, they just take me places I shouldn't go." Dr. Law said, "You don't have a foot problem." He said, "You got a heart problem is what it is. Got a heart. That's what's wrong with people. Why do people live in sin? Why do people do the things they do? There's something wrong in their heart. Something wrong. You get your heart right with Jesus, it'll change some things. It'll change the way you deal with people. It'll change the way you receive the truth. It'll change the way you love people too.
Sir.
You'll love people more than yourself. That's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes. You won't just sit around and try to fulfill your little pleasures all the time. might consider somebody else and sending them to hell. Ain't that something?
Yes, sir.
People call themselves Christians, and I tell you what, if you are a Christian, you stand before God one of these days with some of the things that you've got upon you. I sure hate it. I sure hate to think that I helped send my children to hell because I was so wicked. Some of you are going to help send your children to hell. But as long as you get to do your little sin, that's okay. All
right?
It's all right, Abel. I can still call myself a Christian. And I can send my kids to hell because I'm a hypocrite. And I get to go to heaven, too. Ain't that just wonderful? Well, we love it. We love the truth, don't we? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, people will reject the truth. Many shall depart from the faith. That's what I was getting to in the last days. They'll depart from the faith. People will reject the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 4, the Bible says this. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For if it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. You know what he said? People will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and they'll depart from the faith. What in the last days? Is that not the truth?
Sir.
Is that not the truth? You know, it's amazing to me. People will run down to the astrologers, and they'll run down to everything else in these days. They'll go look at the horoscope, and everybody's into that kind of trash today. They're into their transcendental meditations, and they're into their, go look at your horoscope, find out what you should do from day to day and everything else. Let me tell you something, all that stuff's out of the pits of hell. It's out of the pits of hell. That's what it is. You ever heard? I believe that there's some truth in some of it, because you looked at the lunatic, and the Bible said, my son is a lunatic. I know we joke about that sort of thing. We told Don Anderson, that was his life verse, Lord help me, my son's a lunatic. And but anyways, you know what that has to do with? It has to do with the moon,
right?
And all those stars and planets out there. You talk about a full moon. Scientists have done studies about full moon. The prisons go crazy. The hospitals go crazy. All these things happen during a full moon. The police, they talk about the crime rates escalating on full moon nights. Why? Because of lunatics. They talk about the mental institutions, the crazy things that happen. Why? Because people are lunatics.
Right.
It revolves around the moon and all that sort of stuff. And you know what? People get all their little ideas and everything else from a bunch of devils is what it is. And then they call themselves Christians. Call themselves Christians. Gypsy Smith, he was a gypsy, and he was talking about one time how he was getting ready to preach somewhere, and somebody knocked on his door and said, I have a letter from your mother. As a gypsy, one of those little people that sit at the crystal ball, he said, I have a letter from your mother. She wrote it and gave it to me to hand to you. His mother had been dead for about 30 years. He said, you didn't get a letter from my mother. He said, yes, I did. He said, here it is, I'm going to give it to you. He said, that's not my mother's handwriting. He said, yes, it is. She gave it to me. And he said, these aren't the words of my mother. These aren't the words of my mother. He said, she's in heaven and she's gone. And if she's in heaven and she's gone, she would have been able to spell properly. The angels of God would have taught her how to say things properly and spell properly. And her sentences wouldn't have been all messed up. My mother was much smarter than this when she was on the earth. And she wouldn't have wrote this right. He said, sir, I'm telling you, your mother gave this. And he said, this is what Gypsy Smith said. He said, some of you people in here are just as foolish as that. As to listen to something that foul, that devilish as that. And yet people claim to be Christians. Ain't that something? We listen to devils, but we don't listen to Jesus. Ain't that something? Hey, that's far-fetched. Some of the kings in Israel, they would go consult with Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Now, whenever you get mad at a preacher, that's what most people do. They consult with the prince of the devils. They go
communicate with him and get some ideas from him. Let's see what we can do. Maybe we can find something wrong with his family. Maybe we can find something wrong with his, maybe we can find something wrong with his children. We don't have to respect what the preacher has to say. Let me tell you something. My little girl, she's going to go to hell just as fast as yours is if she don't get saved. She's going to go to hell just as fast as everybody else's will if she don't get saved. She's got the same sin nature that the rest of us have. Ain't that something?
Yes.
Try to find something wrong with, in their family. Well, that, I don't have to listen to the preacher because the preacher's child does this. I don't have to listen to the preacher because look at his family. And then people sit and nitpick and everything else. Well, that's real good. You're going to go to hell, the same hell that my daughter's going to if you don't get saved.
Right? Well, people depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And that's what a lot of folks have done. You believe your sins are forgiven you, don't you? You've learned how to pat yourself on the back and go, and what do you call that? That's false doctrine, ain't it? That's just a bunch of doctrines of devils. I tell you what, we got a lot, bunch of lost religious people. They sit and they worship the devil is what they do. That's what the Bible says, ain't it? That's what the Bible says.
Yes, sir.
They worship the devil. If you worship God outside of God's way, outside of God's bounds, you worship the devil's what you do.
Right.
All you, some of these people do is sit and worship the devil. I tell you what, the emotions will get high in the church service, and they'll get real emotional. That little familiar spirit that they have, it'll come up out of the pits of hell, and it'll just show up all over them, and they can't ever get saved because they think God's a familiar spirit.
Right.
They think God's a devil.
Exactly right.
Because your God is a devil. But as long as you wear a little skirt, you go to church, and I tell you what, we can sit and run our mouths about people. I've heard the funny thing is people are so crazy as to think that you don't remember the things that they say. I've heard some things people said in here. Oh, they're so pious, they're so religious. They talked about. I've heard some of you say things like this. Well, I tell you what, if you're reading the Bible to them at home, I tell you what my daddy said. I tell you what my mommy said. If you're reading the Bible to them at home, they'll be quiet at church. Let me ask you a question. Hey, let me ask you a question. Why some of your church just as children as rowdy as hell in church? Well, we were very self-righteous when we made the statement, wasn't we? Come on now. I'm surprised we ain't shouting about that.
That's right.
Some of you said that. No, what happened? Sometimes you say things it's hard for people to forget. And you may lie so much you forget everything that you say. But people don't forget. I just want you to know that. People don't always forget.
Yeah.
There might be some that are so dumb that they believe what you say. There might be so deceived by you. But let me tell you something. There's some people that you ain't deceived.
Amen. Well,
hallelujah. I tell you what, ain't God good? I tell you, praise God, hallelujah. Praise God, amen. I tell you, it's good to be saved, hallelujah. It's good to be right with God. I'm glad that I can wake up this morning and have communion with God. I'm glad that I can get up this morning and read my Bible. I read 5 chapters and I said, God, that's so good. I'm just going to read another 5. I tell you what, it's good to be saved, hallelujah.
So you're right.
Good to be saved.
Praise God. Amen. Amen.
I'm glad I can have fellowship with you.
Amen.
I know some of y'all probably have problems with some of the stuff I just said. That's all right.
Yeah, it's good.
It's all right.
I should have a problem with it. Amen.
2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away from their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. That's the days that we live in.
Right.
The
because today there'll be some people, they'll probably get mad and call mama or something on the phone because that's what they like to do after the preacher preaches right down their path. They like to call mama on the phone and twist the truth a little bit. The Bible said he, the utter slanderer, is a fool. That's what the Bible said. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know why you can slander a preacher? Because in your heart you don't believe there's a God. Hey, that's right. That's what the Bible said. The fool utters slander. The fool sits and runs his mouth behind people's back. That's what he does. Makes up stuff. Twists the truth just enough to make them look bad. We love that, don't we? The Bible said you're a fool. You do that because you don't believe there's a God in your heart.
That's right.
Well, many shall depart from the faith. They don't want a preacher to tell them the truth. The Bible said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You know what this preacher, he sits and prays for you. I want you to be right with God. I want you lost people to be saved. I want you saved people to be all that you can be for God.
Amen.
And you know what gets in the way of all that? Sin.
Sin.
Sin. You know why this church ain't in a state of revival? Because you're ungodly. That's why.
Right.
You're ungodly. That's why. Mm-hmm. We couldn't care less about people going to hell. Couldn't care less. Couldn't care less about any of that stuff. Couldn't care less if your own sons and daughters half the time went to hell. Will somebody say amen, right? We couldn't care less just as long as we have a little house to live in and we have our bills paid. And ladies and gentlemen, we couldn't care less if we don't carry a burden half the time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Couldn't care less. What is it? Bible said, Jeremiah, he said, oh, that my head were many waters and my eyes a fountain of tears for the slain of the daughter of my people. That's what Jeremiah said. The Bible said, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoice, bringing his sheaves with him. That's what the Bible said. The Bible said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. How much do you care? How much do we care today? I don't even like being a mean preacher, but I tell you what, I'd rather obey God and preach the truth than have you like me.
Man, that's not me.
Yeah.
I'd rather preach what this Bible says. I'd rather preach some things that you don't like and agree with than to offend God. You spend some time with God, I tell you what, you get sick and tired of people just playing patty cake with God. Acting like they want God. You don't want God. If you wanted God, you'd have him. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, what will I do? I will give you rest. The reason why you don't want that rest is because you don't believe God. The reason why you don't have that rest is because you don't really desire him. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Why don't you have that rest? Because he's willing to give it to you. Because you don't really care. We love our sin. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil and they'll not come to light lest their deeds be reproved. There's some little thing that they want to hold on to.
Right.
Some little thing. They love their sin more than they love the Savior. Well, 2 Timothy. I meant to be like really brief, like all every week.
Preach on, son. Preach on.
I was listening to John Green. He was preaching things I fear most. That's what he kept saying to Brother Allen. He said, sometimes whenever you preach, the devils of hell will start bothering you. You went to, especially when the Holy Ghost gets on you. Especially when the Spirit of God's on you. The devils will get on your back when you're done. And you'll be riding down in your car and they'll be, you went way too long. You went way too long. That ain't God. That ain't God saying that. Apostle Paul preached so long, man fell asleep. They preached for hours. Preached for hours. Well, we got to have a little 30-minute sermonette. And that's why everybody's going to hell. And their children and their grandparents and their moms and dads and their cousins, their nieces and their nephews. Everybody's on dope. Everybody's a bunch of drunkards. Everybody lives like hell. Well, because we just want to have our little religious sermonette. As long as Jesus fits in our box, we'll be okay. We love that Jesus, the one that agrees with us on everything. That's a little false god, by the way. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and is worshipped, so that it,
in the temple, showing himself that he is God. There comes a great falling away first. 11 and 12, the Bible said this, and for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. You know why? God will send some of you a strong delusion. If you don't get saved, you go through the great tribulation because you did not have pleasure in the truth. Didn't have pleasure. You had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's why God will send you a strong delusion. We just like to patty cake with God and play religion and everything else. But I tell you, the problem is we love our sin more than we do the Savior. We love our sin more than we love our family. We love our sin more than we love God. We love sin more than we love our children. We love our little pet sins more than we care about anything else. That's what's wrong with us. That's what's wrong with us. Let me tell you something. I've been reading my wife the biography of Percy Ray, and she sits there and she like marvels that this kind of stuff can even happen anymore. Is it even allowed to happen anymore? I thought God did away with all of that stuff with the prophets and everything else. And I had to go over there and flip over there and show her Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. God said that the things that Elijah prayed for, you can pray for. You know, Elijah prayed fire out of heaven. He prayed fire from heaven three times upon three sets of men, three groups of men sent from the king. He prayed fire upon every one of them. Or twice. Then he prayed fire out of heaven to consume the altar of Baal. Ain't that something? You said that's Elijah. Elijah was a man of like passions as we are. Right? We just don't believe the Bible that much, do we? You know what? I thank God, not because I can pray, but I thank God that there's a lot of times God answers my prayer.
Amen.
I thank God. He don't have to. That's the thing. All the time, I sit and think, if I got prayers answered like Percy Ray, what kind of proud, arrogant sucker would I be? God knows better than to let some of those things happen to me. Man, and some of y'all will probably stumble at this because you don't believe God. That man prayed fire out of heaven.
That's right.
Four times.
Oh, it is.
You go down there to Camp Zion, you can go down there and see it for yourself. And you know, there's a pillar on the Mississippi River there in Missouri where he was there and he was holding a meeting. And he stood there on one side of the river where his tent was, and on the other side, it was like a row of bars that were right on the river. They were probably 100, 200 foot off the river. And you know what? He kneeled down in front of the whole entire crowd and said, God, would you let all those beer joints just fall into the Mississippi River? The next day, they were in the Mississippi River. And there's a pillar there in that town that remembers how he prayed that. Is that something? But I tell you what, we wouldn't a bit more know God than ability. God's hid himself from America.
Yeah.
God's hid himself from us, ladies and gentlemen. And we have failed to see it. In last days, perilous times will come. And I'm almost done. Perilous times will come for, let's just read for 1 minute about what these days will be like. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we are living in these last days. This is the age of the Gentile. But here's the thing, it gets worse and worse. These things are getting worse and worse. 2 Timothy 3, 1-9, know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Is that right?
Right.
Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Ain't that something?
Yes.
God didn't naturally put it into a man to want to be a woman.
Right.
He didn't naturally put it into a woman to want to be a man. That's unnatural. It's unnatural. They talk about trust the science, trust the science, trust the science, trust the science. You know, scientists can physically show you that you're a man. You know, science can physically show you that. Ain't that something? All these liberals, their science, all these little atheists and agnostics and all their science is just a bunch of political stuff. And all it is just something that fits their little ideas, deceiving themselves. They twist the truth
They twist the truth. And you know what? Scientists today, they can't even come out and disagree without being fired and blackballed and treated like the black sheep. They can't even come out and disagree. Let me tell you something. These people, they talk about trust the science. You know, science changes every single day. There's things that they were dogmatic about, things that they were absolutely dogmatic about, even up until recent times. Well, there was a few of them that they were very dogmatic about, and they just knew that it was the truth, and there's no refuting it. They just found out that there was one big one a couple of years ago. They just found out that it was just a big sham, that there was absolutely nothing to it, that there was no way that it could be right. And these genius physicists that know absolutely everything, they trusted it with all their heart as if it was God.
Right.
Scientists change. They change every day. And they sit and they follow these fallible men that don't know everything. They treat them like they know everything. It's amazing.
Well,
they might be smart, but they're fools is what they are. People will degenerate. You find out 1 through 4, people will be, they will degenerate. I said, this, know also that the last days perilous times should come from men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unholy, unfaithful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Is that not the day that we're living in? Despisers of those that are good? I tell you what, you live for God, people think you're evil. You live like hell, people think that you're good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Not only do they degenerate worse and worse, but they're religious and they don't have the power of God. Is that not the day that we live in today?
No.
I tell you what, every now and then I'll hear some preacher on the radio, or I'll hear somebody that's very, very upheld, and they'll have a church of 300-400 people, 500 people. Some of them have churches of 1,000 people, and I'll sit and listen to them, and I'm like, that man absolutely wouldn't a bit more know God than a billy goat, and he absolutely loved him. He don't have the power of God. He don't have a touch of God. Let me tell you something. Men that have a touch of God on them preach against sin. Men that have a touch of God on them preach against sin. Why? Because God hates sin. That's why. They preach against sin. Well, they're religious. People will be given over. He said that because this, God gave them up to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who's blessed forever, man. Because this, God gave them up to their vile affection. For even their men to change the women to change the natural use into that which is against nature. The men likewise also burn in the lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was me. And even as they did not like to retain God the knowledge, the third time he gave them up, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Gave them over to a reprobate mind. Let me tell you something. That's the days of America today. Let me tell you this. It's more than just America. It's the whole world. It's the whole world today. More than just America, it's the whole world. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What? Men were degenerates. Men were religious. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. What? Men were degenerate. They were sodomites. They were perverts. Now I tell you what, these things are going to get worse and worse. Worse and worse. Not only that, men are scoffers. They scoff. To scoff is to mock or jeer, to imply something is unworthy or deserving of reverence. They mock the things of God. They mock God. They act like God is just one big lie. Let me tell you something. The Bible covers some of that stuff. The unbelieving, what do? They call God a liar. If you're lost in here, you know it's your worst accusation that you've ever accused anybody of. If you're lost, this is your accusation against God. Hey, God, you're a liar. You're a liar, God. That's the accusation. Why? The Bible said this in the book of 1 John. The Bible said, these things have been written unto you that you may know that you have passed from death unto life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. The Bible said they believe not the record that God gave of the Son. He said, this is the record that God gave of the Son. Eternal life, and this life is in the Son. What is the? They said they believe not the record. They've made God a liar because they believe not the record that God gave of the Son. What if they don't believe? What do they say that God's a liar? You know what the worst atrocity? People talk about injustice. The worst injustice that the world has ever known, as people pointed their face in the face of their hand in the face of God and said, God, you are a liar. It's the worst atrocity that the world's ever done. Some of you will stand before God calling him a liar. They will question the creation of the world. They will question the coming of Christ because he hasn't come already. They will question the judgment that they will face. You find that 2 Peter chapter 3, 3 through 13. They will question the creation of the world. They will question the coming of Christ because he hasn't come already. And they will question and mock the judgment that they will face. They don't believe that any of these things are right, but yet they're still religious. And God will get enough of this wickedness. God will get enough. You know one thing I believe? I believe that God hasn't come already because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing. It's in the same chapter of 2 Peter chapter 3. And I'll be done. I'm going to read it to you. The Bible says this, verse 9, he says, well, I'll start where I was going to, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness. But as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know why I believe God's held back from coming? Because he wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. He's not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is the last days like? There will be many antichrists in the world, false preachers, false prophets, false apostles, false Christ. And there will be many that depart from the faith, they'll reject the truth, they'll live like the devil but claim to be Christians. You know what else they'll do? They'll claim that their works get them to heaven, that they're good people and they'll get them to heaven. Not only that, but it will be perilous times, and then number 4, men will be scoffers. Scoffers. And they'll be wicked and ungodly men. Let's pray. Father, help us today. I pray today, Lord, that you'd help us. I pray that you'd teach us your word. I pray that you'd give us a better understanding of the Bible. God, I pray that you'd help us that our eyes would be open to the truth about us. God, help me to see me for who I am. God, I pray that you'd help us all, Lord, that you'd open our eyes to help us see what we need to see. God, I pray that you'd help me today. I praise your name for your loving kindness and your mercy and your long suffering to us. God, I pray today, Lord, that you'd help us to know the truth. God, I pray today, Lord, that you'd help us to receive the truth. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help our hearts to be prepared to receive the word of God. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.